Sean, don't go too far. The only reason I stood up is that I really feel like the Lord has a word for us. And you who are at home want to just add, I'm so glad that we prayed for Israel and just feel like there is something behind that that we need to pray for even our own situation. So as you know, I just love to get around the Word of God. So may the Lord help us in that. We're going to jump right on into that in just a moment. I feel the Lord has a timely message for us, and I want to thank you. It's always so much of an enjoyment for me to just see your smiling faces here and to see you enter into worship. But I feel like the Lord would like to say, so it's a faith statement to you who are at home, and for us who are here, maybe it's applicable as well. But I feel like the Lord would say, my dear one, whenever I'm involved in a situation, there's always right order. I'm inviting you to not forget to pray and ask me to be a part of your situations. There are times I see you go about not inviting me. You're going through situations and can secure things through your education, or your economic standing, or the possibility of people around you, and you do make it through. But you'll never have divine involvement in those situations. Therefore, it's up to you to call down heaven. I want to remind you, whenever I'm not in a situation, there is chaos and disorder. That's how you can tell if I'm not invited and I'm not there. My love never ceases, but would you be the one that says, Mom and Dad, we need to pray? Would you be the one to say, honey, let's gather the family together? Would you be that friend to say, let me lead us in prayer and ask for the God of the Bible's help in this? Therefore, I encourage you, whenever I'm not involved, there is chaos and disorder in a situation. Wherever I'm involved, there is peace and order. So I just want to add that. That's just going to be up to us, isn't it? You know, it's interesting while we were just saying, just Lord, come. Just think about that just for a moment, how comfortable you feel when you just say, we're going to pray. Now, I know all of us would probably say, well, I believe God's with me. I mean, didn't that what the Bible says? But do we actually say, Lord in heaven, your kingdom come? So I think there's going to be something that happens there that's going to be important. And maybe that's going to be part of the initial element. Wouldn't it be great that our altar, our prayer wall is just filled with people saying, you know what? I haven't asked anybody to pray with me about situation. So something big is going to happen for you today. I believe that. Mark down, if that was a word for you, mark down 1 Corinthians 14:33. Now I can tell if somebody needs this, either take that for themselves or pass it on. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians says that God is not the author of confusion, but he is the God of peace, as in all the churches, or all the churches of the saints. Isn't that great? That's for people of God. Now, I know people that don't have God, they just need Jesus in their life. Isn't that true? Let's remind them of that. It's going to be good. So, God bless you. Let's take a moment now. Never want to just kind of share a prophetic word without taking a response to that. Would you just close your eyes with me, and please close your eyes to the screen and just let the Holy Spirit. Is there an area that's chaotic right now? There's disorder going on in areas of your involvement, and you really haven't prayed out loud to ask for God's divine involvement. Do you see it? I see a couple for me. Just go on yesterday's prayer. Then repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We're in a relationship. We're not into just going about it from Sunday to Sunday. And now ask God, Lord, help. Come. Bring direction. Bring heaven down on that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody feeling better? I do. Huh? Thank you. So with that, it's always helpful. I just want to be a good messenger boy. I want to give it out there. Okay, let's get back to what we've all planned. It's going to be important for us. Hey, I want to just, first of all, would you take a look at that nice young lady standing up back there? Joan Burita is back in the sanctuary. Kudos. Way to go. So Joan, thank you. Through numerous health issues, this is a walking miracle. And she's holding Bibles ready to usher, and she couldn't wait. Instead of sitting back in a hammock here somewhere in the sanctuary, she's standing up, and we praise God for that. David Liu, who's back there on the camera, focusing in on a few of us. David, this Thursday at 3 in the afternoon at our Foursquare Leadership Conference is going to be ordained. Can we just thank God for the miracle? Wow. So how does that happen? Well, naturally through Foursquare, you get licensed. In 2 years, they see if they've got the metal it takes to be ordained. And so thank you for encouraging him, his young family. And it's a real, real feather in Hope Chapel's cap that we continue to raise up people like you and me to serve the Lord. So I want to also just highlight, too, Sean Knight says, if you can, remind people they want to go to the border ministry. Vicki Bounting's heading to with Pastor Alma and Milton. You can participate on the 28th. We're looking forward to that. And finally, I do want to just say it's important. This coming fifth Sunday, it's the 29th of October, and that's what we are dubbing Team Member Appreciation Sunday. You and I have known that one service Sunday. We've used this year, this calendar year of 2023, as one service and then lunch afterwards. And it's just been so wonderful. Well, now, if you serve in any capacity, you're going to see your name being called out. And we want to recognize you and thank you for serving Hope Chapel. So that Sunday, not only lunch, not only one service, 10:30, but we are dubbing it the Team Member Appreciation Sunday. And we've got quite a bit of people we need to thank to make things so encouraging and comfortable. And I just want to thank you, all of you, because of your financial faithfulness to this ministry, we're able to touch people beyond the walls. And it's incredible what's going on. So all of you, some of you are going to be recognized by Jesus. He's the one. The righteous are going to say on that day, Lord, when did we see you in prison or needing a visitation? When did we see you naked? And when do we see you where you needed clothing and things like that? Hello, it's going to be important. Well, Lord, with that, thank you for helping us as we launch into this message and enabling us to see some things that you have for us this very day. Amen. Our series, we're in part two, but the series is Building Useful Character. And how much so? Because we're dealing with even just, we would call team members, but you and I would know them better as volunteers, serving the church in some capacity, really serving Jesus. Get a chance to serve Jesus. But we're looking at character that helps us to say, I'll be there. You can count on me to help serve Jesus alongside you. So last time we were together, we were looking at really self-discipline. It's something we all know we should have. It wasn't to build on any guilt. I hope that wasn't the case, but it's just a topic we never want to really address. Well, today we're taking a look at one entitled Resilience, to be useful. Resilience. In other words, overcoming what is hard. Overcoming. If we're going to be used by God, we're certainly going to need resilience and be able to press through. I'm so glad growing up that my parents, my dad, my mother, caused my other two brothers and my sister, they taught us really to be tough and to hang in there in times when we just didn't want to. My dad would often use this phrase, you're as good as the best and better than the rest. And we did not, many times, did not feel that way. Seriously, whether that was in high school even, was wrestling, struggling with things. Just remember, Pauline, have you repeat it? You're as good as the best and better than the rest. Let's say that together in honor of my dad. How's that? You're as good as the best and better than the rest. That's all, the rest are outside this church. Is that okay? You're all the best there is. But it's important because growing up, we were told we didn't really have the money to just lavishly provide for each of us as the children. So we had to go out and get jobs, really, if I wanted something. So I surprised my dad one day, and I got a job at Haig's Liquor Store. When he found out about that, he screamed and yelled, and you're going to quit. And I quit after one day. He says, they rob liquor stores, Paul. You're going to get gunned down. So that scared me. So I got a job at Rocco's Arco. And he's like, okay, you know, throwing salt and resin on the oil bays and things like that. And my dad says, oh, and that lasted 2 weeks because I got mono in my sophomore year. And so I had to quit that job. And then eventually I started to clean my dad's print shop. And when I got my license, I would drive to Pasadena and work on Saturdays. But it was just areas where you had to work through things to just determine how those outcomes to see some of the rewards. And we're taking a look at an area that we're talking about, which is called really resilience. Psychology Today, the magazine says, resilience is this, the inevitable quality that allows some people to be knocked down by life and come back stronger than ever, rather than letting failure or hardship overcome them and drain their resolve, they find a way to rise from the ashes. I want to be used by God. You remember when I was talking about how that those who are disciplined, God highly uses. Then there's going to be times that's like, wow, it's not a good day to be used by God. It's not a good day to come outdoors. But it's going to be important because another phrase that when we talk about the area of really resilience, another phrase is mental toughness or perseverance. And one that the Bible talks about and uses the word resilience is called endurance. Let's look here at Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, let's start off with this. It says, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, we know that they help us develop what? Endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Boy, that's what we're really dealing with. That's the whole theme that we're talking about with this series. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So when we're taking a look here, endurance develops strength of character. Boy, there are a lot of times I just don't want to be and I don't want to do and I don't want to show up. A lot of times. But I find I'm so glad I did when I finally went to the event or pressed through. And there's something to be said about a person that develops in that area of endurance. So let's take a look here because the quality essential, I believe, of followers of Jesus is an ability to endure. Quality of Christians that are going to follow Jesus. And this world is filled with pain. I want you to know there has been a season, I believe we're in a lull, a quiet time. If you take a look at 2022, what was going on with society? Not just the pandemic, but loss of freedom and shutdowns, political chaos, people just bantering each other. That was really ugly. I actually heard somebody say we're still in a season of chaos. But you and I might just go off and enjoy certain luxuries and relaxations or maybe the platitude of just retirement. But I'm telling you, I do believe we're coming into a season that it's going to require followers of Jesus to endure. And it would be good that we just take a look at today's topic and be aware of, even in this season, what it is, building character for usefulness. So how do we go about doing that? Because if we don't, I believe we've all seen or known of Christians that become sporadic or inconsistent, maybe even temporary Christians, because situations in life make them, it's just not attainable to them. They just back away from following Jesus. So let's take a look at some things that the Bible would help us with. Number one, view hard times as opportunities for growing resilience. Let's look here at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So what? Let it grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete and needing nothing. Well, there's something that's happening when you're tested, your faith is being tested. And you know, all faith is aimed at God. That's where our faith should always be. It was Jesus that said that. in Mark 11, 20, 21. Have faith in God. You can say to this mountain, be removed. Have faith in God. That's when it's tested. Is God still with me? Is he going to help me? So when your faith is being tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. What's an outcome when you are being tested? Like, is God going to be around for your good a little later? You can see here that verse 4, it's going to really make you perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You're needing nothing. It's going to be important that you consider these things and say, man, no wonder why I should rejoice going through this time I do not like and I don't appreciate. Hard times test and grow our faith. It's going to be important. God will allow certain areas. Who knows what he's going to allow? Did he allow the pandemic? I would, Lord, why are you allowing us to go through that? I wrestled with that. That was a hard 2020 for me. And then it eased up in 2022. But I'm still here today. Praise God. I'm so glad I stood the test of time. And so did many of you. And so did many of you. Some of you were still waiting to see you face to face. Breaks my heart not able to really hold one another up personally. Got a great group of people here that know what it is to press through things. But boy, there was such a challenge going on in our society. We just kind of need to remember that when closures of businesses, people moving away, oh, breaks my heart. So those things are very, very disruptive. But there's things that are happening in and among the Christians. Did God allow all of those things to destroy us? No. But I'll tell you, Christian immaturity makes life much harder. So I think God's growing our character. Praise the Lord. I know it's happened in my life. I thought, man, I think I've got my act all together. And then, man, 2020 hit. And then you realize this is something I'm so glad I wasn't a little upstart pastor when this hit. So it's important we get a chance. The reality is life is extremely hard. Everybody say extremely hard. But Jesus makes it easy. Yeah, they're a little softer on that. But Jesus makes it easy. Let's take a look at number 2. Okay, resist thinking that destroys resilience. Resist thinking. We all have thoughts that either will build us and say, wow, I feel so much better today, or things that really knock us for a loop. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this. So do not throw away this confident trust in who? In the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance, there's that word again, is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised you. Man, I'm in it for all the promises. And you've heard me say that this Bible has well over 3,100 promises for you and me. It's like a love letter. And I want every one of them, don't you? It's worth our reading material to say, what is God promising me today? So how we think during hard times makes a big difference. It really is. That's the point. Resist thinking that would really make it more difficult. We all struggle with correct or incorrect thinking. Like Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you, it's like a doctor's tongue test. Let's see how the old gullet's working. And you just let people, what are you thinking today? Ooh, that's not good thinking. Listen to how you are talking. So it's going to be important we get a chance. Be careful about that. It really does have some challenges. So conversations over the many, many months, boy, it was really some bad thinking that was going on there. So be careful. Thinking that will make us quit. Watch out for that. Watch out. We all deal with areas of discouragement. And then if the works of darkness don't come right behind that and remind us how God cannot be trusted, that, you know, you don't even need to pick up the Bible. You're too tired to pick up the Bible. What good has it brought you? Be careful about those things. Watch out for those thinkings that will destroy, it'll erode your confidence. And Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence. Don't do that. Have you confidence in the Lord coming through for you? Would that be helpful for you to maintain your usefulness for the kingdom? You get a privilege to serve Jesus at Hope Chapel. What a great, fertile place to do that to. So to be able to do that is going to be important. Watch out for the whispers of the enemy. We all know when the enemy will whisper something to us. So what thinking do you need to maybe begin to resist? Just put that out there. What thinking do you need to just say, you know what, that is not of the heart of Jesus, and I rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody say amen. It's important. Number three, let go of things that hinder resilience. Let go of things. What would that be? Well, it's interesting. I like what Hebrews, back to Hebrews, but chapter 12 says this, verse 1, portion of it, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with, there's that word again, with what? Endurance. Resilience. Let us run with that. So it's important. We simply cannot run with endurance if we have weights. Have you ever tried just doing your jogging? Some people put on intentionally weights just to make their little jogging a little more difficult. But it's difficult to run with weights. It is very hard. Not impossible, but the scripture says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. It's like, what happened to you? We're way over here in God, and you're all the way back here. What was that weight that caused you to stop? Let's throw off that weight that slows you down. Because what I find is that everybody else in our loving embrace of Christianity will all slow down for that one, which is good, but even less is done. And then people go, why don't you carry me? Well, let's throw off certain weights and let's go for it. Let's enjoy and let's jump on in there. So it's not really a physical weight we're talking about here. Bible says, scripture describes two kinds of weights. One is there is a sin in particular in that scripture. And what would that be? Well, we all have just issues. I know what my issue is, and you may not even trip you up. But sometimes we just have just bad behaviors, attitudes, motives that are wrong, ingrained in our character. Certain things that could cause us that the scripture says, man, let's throw off that weight. Areas people can have all kinds of things from anger issues to gossip issues to, man, overeating issues. They just dishonesty or lust or pride. Oh. There just can be those things that really can challenge people from fear. That fear that, well, what's wrong with fear? Well, materialism, all those things can slow the progress of usefulness of a Christian. So let's be careful about that. You and I know what our issues are. So it's going to be important we get a chance. And it's interesting here, we're not talking about being perfect. You know that's not going to be the case. I was really just dealing with people. I love Hope Chapel because it's like, man, let's get people raised up, qualified disciples, get out there and make something happen. Because there's people that really need to know that God loves them, and you've got that message. You've got that message. There's a lot of people that have not been told God loves them in a long, long time. Hey, by the way, God loves you. And it's true. Or else he wouldn't have sent Jesus. So it's going to be important that we get a chance, and that's the beauty of having somebody in your life like a life group leader, like a somebody that would come along, a small group. You know, the forming of the choir could be a small group where you have somebody to interact with those areas that you just feel you need to be a part of and share your journey with others. And I just want to say there's another weight that the Bible says here in Hebrews 10, and that's basic, or Hebrews 12. There is a other weight which we would just say that element, it's not necessarily sin. It says every weight, not the sin, but every weight. And sometimes our conscience will speak to a Christian that, you know, it's time to lay that thing down. When you are a child or not walking with God, you know, no big deal. But if we're really wanting to be used by the Lord and really want to be somebody that really is fruitful, God could be speaking that it's time to lay that down. Things maybe in our form of entertainment or movies that we watch. It is interesting. It's that time of season where scary stuff's out there. People love scary stuff. you know, if that's your thing, it's pretty good. But you may, if the Holy Spirit says, you know, it's time to maybe not get so spooked by the spooks. Just want to throw that out there. Don't pick on me. I'm just passing on. Spooked. It's like, but people just go after certain forms of media, certain forms of dealing with maybe news, too much of it, or time to that weight of a wrong kind of a friend, or maybe the job needs to change. But the Lord can show somebody that. It's all for the sake, Lord, I want you to use me. And I find I'm not enduring like I should. What is that weight that is holding me back? It's pretty simple. That's a person that says, I'm all in. I love the fact, you know, when we enjoy Oregon, such a beautiful state. So is California, by the way. But the Oregon Trail was easily marked by the pioneers and settlers. How? Man, they said that the wagon trains, it would just, the whole trail be littered of discards because there's so much weight on the wagons that the settlers were just getting rid of stuff. And you can make your way through the trail falling the debris because their animals couldn't pull the weight for any longevity. Isn't it interesting? How about for Christians? Man, there should be certain things along our path of life that we just say, I need to just discard a few of these things because it's weighing me down. I want to be all in for Jesus. And how great is that? And important it is for us to enjoy that. We want to be used by the Lord, don't we? Say amen. Amen. It's true. Number four, make sure you're running God's race and not yours. That's just important we get a chance. I like Hebrews, so much of that. But Hebrews chapter 12, again, look at verse 1. A portion of that says, and let us run with endurance. There's that word again, the race God has set before us. Let us run that race. Look at verse 2, a little portion of that. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, verse 2 says. So how do we do that? We run that race keeping our eyes on Jesus. So if we are committed to following, what type of relationship do we have? How does that look? I would just say, man, is Jesus in the forefront? Be sure helpful, wouldn't it? That's what I love about charismatic Christians, man. They're all about Jesus. You just get with them, and they just love talking about the Lord. He's in the forefront. He's like, we're following the Lord here. Woohoo! It's great to be able to do that because we're talking about just that persistence that will cause us to be useful to the Lord. So we don't want to live independently of him. We really don't. Talking to believers, we don't want to just kind of somehow have this spiritual endurance that is the result of us working harder or somehow working up our area or manufacturing our own strength. I am confident it has with the ability that you set a gaze on Jesus. That's the one I'm looking for. That's the one I want to live for. I may not have much time. Who knows what next year might hold? And what could possibly be the blinders that block Jesus and cause more conflict with people's confidence? Where is he? Where is God? You will be the one that will bring Jesus into the neighborhoods because there could be situations that are so challenging out there. So there's a submissiveness to his agenda. What does that look like to set Jesus before you? I found this, and just one is a submissiveness to his agenda. Lord, I'm not sure what it is consisting of today, but I want to do your agenda today. That's usually how it is. I know what I want to see happen. Some of it's fun, but Lord, I want to be mindful if there's anything you want to rearrange. That's just, I'm submitted to the Lord. Secondly, I think a good communication. And that means prayer. If we're not really praying, if we're not really seeking the Lord in prayer, that really shows us how confident we are in our own abilities, or possibly how confident we are in our own pride by how little we might pray. So communicating, Lord, how's it going today and what's happening? And sometimes things are revealed, or a radical commitment for obedience. I think if our hearts just, I'm ready to obey. I've had some humorous conversations with people over these last few months when during the challenge, like, Paul, I don't want to know what God wants for me. I said, you don't? Yeah, because I'll have to do it. I said, are you kidding me? Well, that's honest. And somebody else says, well, you know, isn't the Bible say that we won't be judged by what we don't know? Well, I guess that's true. He says, well, I don't want to know anything about the Bible. I won't be judged. Can you believe it? But people are reasoning these things out. There's some logic there. But that's a person that wasn't wanting to be committed to obedience to the Lord. Aren't we fun? Aren't people great? I love being a person. Jesus became one for us. And we're so fascinating. It's really amazing how we'll work things through. Well, let's move on with this last point, number five. Choose obedience over your feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings. So glad God's given them to us. But let's look at Hebrews 10:36 once again. Hebrews 10:36 says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. I like that. Continue to do God's will. It's going to be important. I like to have faith it out, not fake it out. And it's really going to be important to be really, Lord, I want to be loyal to you more than logical. There are people that really want to have certain things all lined up. I just want to have loyalty to the Lord. That's my heart. Lord, I want to be found loyal to you. I want to understand what your will is for us. This is your church. What is it that you have for us? More than anything, I don't want to run on my own emotions. So it's going to be important that we get a chance to do that. So when we continue, character and maturity is the ability to do the right thing regardless. I'm just going to do the right thing. We'll get a chance to see a little bit of that next Sunday. I'm so excited about that message. And I think it just really helps people to say, I'm going to do the right thing. We choose to show up. It's going to be important in pain or in confusion or weariness or even heartache. You choose to show up. I'm telling you, it's wonderful when you get a chance then to see God do a miracle. Sometimes we go through such heartache and pain and despair because we cloister ourselves away. But if we just show up and see God work it among us and among friends or associates. So what do we need to do in life to just kind of have things happen? I'm telling you, it's good. This message is not one of those types of messages going to sell books, so I won't write one. But you are the volume that God's writing. You are the volume. God's writing a story in heaven, and he's going to describe it in some wonderful ways. So spiritual endurance, I think one of the greatest things, and I love about Hebrews here, that you will receive the promise. You'll receive the promise. Some of you are going to be waiting for the promise here on earth, but God will never welch on a deal. You're going to see that promise come in glory one day. One day we'll be there. But I'm telling you, the promises will fulfill. It's going to be great. So keep showing up. Let others help in that area of just being in community together. A great way that we serve one another. We really are serving Jesus. So let's take a moment right now. Let me just pray with you. Would you bow your heads and thank the Lord together with us. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for Jesus. How faithful and what longevity it took from the garden to Calvary to redeem us. And now we're still waiting for your return. Who knows? This could be the season for that. But Lord, we want to be found faithful. We want to be found faithful. And if there are those that are with us today that need Christ in their life, then we're asking even now, Lord, that you would be willing to even pray this prayer with me. The prayer goes like this. Would you pray it out loud with me? It goes, Dear Jesus, I trust you. You really are my confidence. And forgive me, Lord, for when I overlook you, or misplace your word and listen to others. Lord, I come to you now to surrender my life, my plans, and my future. Lord, I give you my life. So, Almighty God, Lord, come into my life. Help me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me hear your voice. For you have said, O Lord, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. Lord, I'm following you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we thank the Lord for that. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer, would you let us know? I'm confident, boy, there are so many things here at Hope Chapel, let alone maybe the body of Christ worldwide, that still are needing assistance. And who knows, God's raising us up to fulfill certain roles and responsibilities. Maybe for a short season, maybe for a duration, who knows? But may the Lord just bless each and every one of you. I know you love him so much, and I'm grateful for it. So honored to be your pastor at this time. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing to the Lord and thank him for that. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.